is omniscient. He is infinite. He operates outside of all that. So I don't altogether know, because he's never talked to me and told me these things, but I don't altogether know that the Lord is bound by our, you know, end of a calendar year, beginning of another. But there is something in the natural that gives us the opportunity to reset something in the spiritual. Sometimes some of us, all of us live busy lives, and we have schedules and different things, different appointments, different requirements of us, different pressures on us. And each of us, you know, it's easy to get caught up in just day to day to day to day. Monday becomes Tuesday. Tuesday pours into Thursday. Thursday pours into Saturday, Sunday, Tuesday. I mean, just it's over and over. And then we sit here on December the 26th of 2018 and we say, man, it was just springtime yesterday. Because it just one pours into the next. And it's difficult in that season of time to find a moment to break things up, to stop, to reflect. But this time of the year gives us that opportunity in the natural. The calendar says this year's coming to an end. I don't know what this year represented to you, struggle, success, finances, devastation, whatever it meant to you. But there's an opportunity to draw a line and to start afresh. I don't know where you're at in your relationship with God. I don't know where you're at in your standing with him. But it's an opportunity to start afresh. This is the last time that we're going to meet together in this building. This is the last Wednesday night of 2018. And I think it would be appropriate if we just took some time and talk to the Lord, be honest with him about where I'm at. I'm guessing if you're like me, there's some things you know you've struggled with this year. There's some things you know you've let slip. There's some things maybe that you set out and man, this is what I want to accomplish. I know coming out of that pause meeting that there were things the Lord challenged me in, and I look back and I'm asking myself, did I follow through with the Holy Ghost on those things? Okay? Some of us have a struggle with follow through in the natural. Did I follow through in the spiritual? If God gave you things, if God gave you words this year, if God challenged you, if you felt challenged in your spirit about things, if there was a word that maybe specifically challenged you about something, whether it was personal dedication, devotion, giving, whatever it was, if there was something that challenged you, I'm going to ask you tonight, did you follow through spiritually on that? If you made a commitment to God about something, if you and the Lord had a conversation somewhere along the line in 2018, you said, he convicted you about something. You said, yes, Lord, I received that. That's for me. What did you do about that? Did you finish it? Now, I understand that the work that God does in us is never finished, and it's ongoing. And as long as I will allow him, he will continue to work in me. He'll continue to work things through me and out of me. And so I'm going to ask us to take a few moments tonight and talk to the Lord. You know what those things are. While I've been speaking here, I know the Lord has prompted some of those things to you. Things that you talked to him about this year. Things that you desired for your life. Discuss the status of those things with him. Father, here's where I'm at tonight. I know this is what you... I felt challenged in my spirit about this at some juncture this year. Here's where I'm at with that. I need your help. I need your grace. And what is it that... What is your expectation of me going forward? Not men's expectation. Not even my own expectation of myself. What and whatever, maybe you've already made some plans and you think you know what the next year holds, but ask the Lord tonight, what is your expectation of me? What do you want of me in this natural sense of a calendar year? What do you want of me? In the name of Jesus, Father, we open ourselves up before you right now. Each of us individually represent different situations, different years, different months, different weeks, Father. Different things that have transpired in our life this year. Father, I believe that there are different challenges of the Holy Ghost to each of our lives. There are things, Father, that I know for me personally that you've revealed to me this year. Things that you're challenging me and my humanity in, Father. I pray right now in the name of Jesus, let your spirit continue a work in me. Forgive me, Father, if I've bailed out or I've disconnected from that process that I allowed you to start in me. Father, I pray from this night forward, let me stay engaged in the process. I'm checking my priorities in with you tonight, Father. I'm checking my focus in with you. I'm checking my goals in with you tonight. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Oh, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Itararamane ala la masato robo kataye. Inaro robo koti ala la masato robahaye. Ite ara robo kotoro robahataye. Ine ala la masitia toro robahakataye. Father, as the page turns in the natural, I pray let us turn it in the spiritual. Let us get step in step with you. Let us get sync in sync with you, Father. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Forgive me if I've forgot, if I've gotten out of step with you, Father. Forgive me tonight if I've gotten out of sync with you and your plan and your desires for me. I pray in the name of Jesus. Realign me, Father, tonight. Realign me, Father. Hatayaraba sotorobo kote araba. Ite kitororoba shataye. Ite arorobo kosotororoba haye. Father, if there's things you're asking me to take on, if there's convictions, Father, that I've pushed against, but you're challenging me in my spirit tonight, I pray give me the grace to accept the challenge. I pray give me the grace to walk in that new dimension, Father. Maybe it's unknown or foreign to me, but I pray great grace upon us tonight as the body of Christ to follow your leading in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Itaroromo kotororobahashiatataye. Itararamashitiatorobahakataye. Guys, can you throw up Revelation 3:7 real quick? To the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, these things saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David, he that openeth and no man shutteth, and shutteth and no man openeth. We keep going? It's okay. I'm going to go through like verse 10 and 11, I think. I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. For thou hast a little strength, and has kept my word and has not denied my name. Now, the Lord began to talk to me about these scriptures last week. I brought them into Sunday thinking, maybe this is what we're going to talk about Sunday. And then Bishop began to talk about the things that he talked about, and it was only confirmation to me of the week before, the things that I had said, these things, these scriptures that God had dropped into my spirit on Friday, and where we're at tonight in this final gathering of 2018. I truly believe that God has put before the church an open door. I truly believe it. It's now, here's the thing. I feel like a lot of times, and I'll just speak for me personally, okay? Maybe you can identify with this. I'll put myself on the cross, and then maybe you'll see yourself beside me somewhere. I feel like I spend a lot of my time sometimes looking for open doors, touching doors. Oh, that one, that one, that one, that one. Is it this one? Is it that one? Is it this one? Is this the one I'm supposed to? And the word to the church in Philadelphia was, I have set before thee an open door. This isn't something you got to look for. It's right before you. And then the other part of me is, I'm constantly looking for, when I find something that's open, I'm constantly looking for something to slam shut in front of my face. Because, you know, that's generally how it goes for me. Nothing ever rarely goes right. You know, we just step into this dimension. We're just starting to go, and then all of a sudden, slam! Whoa, what's going on? But this door that the Lord describes at the church in Philadelphia, he says it's an open door and nobody can shut it. Now, let's jump back to 1 Corinthians, the 16th chapter. And let's start in about verse 7. Let's go back a couple verses. Go try verse 5. Okay. Now I will come unto you when I shall pass through Macedonia, for I do pass through Macedonia, verse 6. And it may be that I will abide, yea, in winter with you, that ye may bring me on my journey whithersoever I go. For I will not see you now by the way, but I trust to tarry a while with you if the Lord permit. But I will tarry at Ephesus until Pentecost. For a great door and effectual, this that word effectual means an active door, is opened unto me, and there are many adversaries. Paul understood that where he was at and where he was going, it was an open door. There's no question about that. He knew that. The Lord had obviously spoken to him, had revealed something to him, had shown him something in the Spirit that there is an open door before you. It's an active door. This isn't something that you got to push on or try. It's an open door. But he said, there are many adversaries. After I read this, I started questioning myself. Wait a minute. If I walked away because I thought a door closed when really it was just the adversary? He didn't say I was going to walk through an impeded. He just said no man can shut it. He didn't say it might not be a difficult door to walk through. He just said no man can shut it. What God opens, the opportunity that he presents, only he can take that opportunity away. Now, the enemy can't even take it away, even though he may try. He may take an adversarial approach to us. This is where the church is at right now. I said to Bishop Sunday night, I said, if you, after Sunday, the things that he said on Sunday, if you weren't filled with anticipation about the POS meeting in April before Sunday, after Sunday, you might as well not even show up. If the things that he said to us didn't move your spiritual needle of what God moved around and ordained in the men of God who he's bringing to that meeting in this building in April, God hasn't spoke to me and said, I'm going to do this and this and this, but I believe the things that are going to be set in order spiritually in that meeting I'm just glad I get to participate. I'm glad I get to be here. God has put before us as the church an open door. Now, he's not going to shove us through that door. He's not going to push us through it. We as the church have to walk through it. That's up to us. Will we follow him through it? Or will we stand back and say, well, I'm not sure if that's the Lord. How about you 12 go on ahead and the rest of us will hang back? I mean, that's a great door. Man, we know what's on the other side of that door. And we're just not sure we could believe that God would give us that. He wants to. That's his word. This is yours. This is an open door. You have to walk through it. I want us to pray again right now. I'm going to turn this to Brother Kendrick. Father, in the name of Jesus, I believe that you have set before us an open door as the body of Christ in this hour. I believe, Father, that there are great things in store for the church, your church. And Father, we want to walk in it. We want to walk through it. We desire to walk with you tonight. We desire you to lead us to the places that you desire us to go, Father. I pray for great grace upon us tonight, Father. I take authority over fear. I take authority over apprehension, Father, in the name of Jesus. I pray that we would walk with boldness, empowered by your Spirit, Father. Not boldness in our flesh, Father, but the boldness that the Book of Acts church prayed for and asked for, Father. In the name of Jesus, 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 in the name of Jesus. When you look at the Book of Acts, church, do you think they were out of the will of God? Do you get any inkling as you read through the Book of Acts and the work that God did through individuals? I mean, the Gate Beautiful, Cornelius. Were these people that were out of the will of God? Were these people that were doing their own thing? It doesn't appear that way. There may have been some situations here and there, but it appears like they were a group of individuals who were following the leading of the Holy Ghost. So if you judge their situation by all the resistance and persecution that they had, you just said, man, them people, they missed it. Isn't that generally how we judge difficult times in our life, oh man, we must have missed that. How do we get back to where we're supposed to be? I don't like this. This is uncomfortable. Think about this. This isn't the stuff we like to talk about. The will of God in the book of Acts and throughout the Gospels, or throughout the New Testament, the epistles, cost people their lives. And yet they prayed, Father, give us boldness. They knew what awaited them. Stephen was in the perfect will of God, hand-selected by the Holy Ghost to participate, given unction and inspiration to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. And they killed him for it. He must have been out of the will of God. Let's pray again. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Father, only you and you alone know what lies ahead. Only you know, Father, what lies in the next month, the next year, around the next turn. We fully entrust ourselves to you, Father. We fully give ourselves to you. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. I'm going to turn this to Brother Kendrick. When he's finished, he's going to turn it to Brother Heiner. God bless you. Thank you for your faithfulness to the kingdom of God. I love each and every one of you. I'm excited at what God's got in store for us.
Hallelujah. A few weeks back, it's actually been a little more than a few weeks, and I was ministering in Kent, and as I was seeking the will of God for that and reading the scriptures that he was bringing before me, I stumbled on this concept that Brother Johnstone just mentioned here about boldness. And not just boldness, but looking at the context of that and also of confrontation and conflict throughout the book of Acts. And one of the things that started to become really evident to me is that a lot of the opposition that came against the church of that day didn't really make a lot of sense in the natural. And I'm not going to take the time to try to find the same verses and context that I did there, but I'll relay one story that really stood out to me. I don't remember all of what it was that drove into this, but it ended up being really a complete riot that was going on. Folks ended up getting drug out into the center square and the Colosseum, and everybody was just totally in an uproar. And the Bible actually says that most of the people didn't even know what they were there for. They didn't even know why they were there. They were just angry, they were stirred up, and they were just on fire, right? And there was no real basis for this. It got to the point where the Roman governor at the time had to step in and was like, what are you guys doing? What is here? What is the big deal? And ended up having to sort of break it up and disperse the crowd, because even the crowd themselves could not explain this anger, this opposition that they were feeling toward the work of the church and to the apostles in that day. And there's several other places where that becomes evident. And it brought to mind this picture that I get when I read through the first few chapters of the book of Revelation. And I see this sort of emergence of the spiritual world, both in the spirit and kingdom of God and the spirit and the kingdom of the enemy. And I see these things that used to be somewhat in the background. In the book of Revelation, man, it's just coming all right to the foreground. There's nothing, the whole spiritual world and physical world are just coming and clashing together until finally at the end of it, then the spirit world is so completely overrun what we see in the natural that that's all there is, and there's a new heaven and a new earth. But before that point, Bible actually speaks of almost birth pangs, that there is this conflict and this tension that becomes very evident in the final and waning days. And I'm beginning to see, and there certainly was some of that going on there in the days of the early church, and I'm certainly beginning to sense and feel that now in our current time, that the enemy's actions, which may have been sort of in the background, not really evident as much, are now just sort of right out there in your face. The lifestyles that people are living, the things that they demand that you accept as normal and natural, it's just really out there. And yet, again, the pattern both with the early church and that I see really laid out in the early part of the book of Revelation is that as that starts to becoming more to the fore, so too does the kingdom of God begin to ascend. The kingdom of God becomes more conspicuous. It becomes more evident. Just as the kingdom of the enemy starts to assert himself, so too does the kingdom of God through the church. And you see this again happening in Acts, in the early church even. And what was interesting is the way that the Lord responded in the natural, in many ways, to what was a spiritual opposition. Because that spiritual opposition, we understand we don't war against flesh and blood. And sometimes the Lord will give us places of intercession where we can just go spiritually to fight that. And that is awesome and good. But also what we see, I believe, is a pattern, an actual response in the natural, a response of God in the natural to that kind of opposition. And it's what we call boldness. And if you start to study that word, you start to study where that comes from. It's a really interesting study. But the most clear description of that that we see is really in Acts chapter 4. And if we look at Acts chapter 4, and verse, somewhere around about, let's say verse 29, the context on here was that Peter and John have been taken, and they had been told that they shouldn't preach in the name of Jesus. There was opposition to the name of Jesus specifically. And then eventually it went on, and they were threatened, and they eventually let them go, and they're now coming back in, and they're talking with all of the people, the other apostles and believers. And it says in Acts 20, in Acts 4 and verse 27, For of a truth against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together for to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word. So the first thing that we see there is that they ask the Lord, behold their threatening, behold the opposition. Lord, look at what they are doing, look at what they are saying. And then they are asking the Lord what they're asking it for boldness. They're asking for the boldness to come on them to counter that. And then in verse 30, it says, by stretching forth thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child, Jesus. See, there again, you have the spirit, the spiritual world, the world of God, the kingdom of God, that sort of dimension of the spiritual realm that brings healing and deliverance coming to the fore as an answer to that opposition that was coming in the flesh. And this is actually what's happening, that we begin to see signs and wonders done as a result of that. And then in verse 31, and when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. Sometimes we think of boldness as something that we have to develop a measure of faith for. We think of boldness as something that we have to have a level of education in. We think of boldness as something that comes from experience. We think of it as maybe something that is developed over time in a process. Perhaps, but what we read about here is something else entirely. This wasn't a process, it was an event. It was an occurrence. It happened at a very specific place, at a very specific moment in time. It happened in response to their prayer for boldness. It was a direct response from the Holy Ghost. It was a specific outpouring directed to them. So this boldness right here really came from them asking it. It was an impartation of boldness. And I believe that in this hour, this very necessary and urgent hour that we are heading into, that the Lord wants His church to be in operation in the earth as He intended, and that He is going to meet the opposition of the enemy with activity of His church, with activity of His kingdom. He is going to meet that head on, and we will see signs and wonders done through His church. And part of that will be us seeking boldness in Him. Not something that's going to come from knowledge, not something that's going to come through any sort of a process. There's a process, certainly, that leads us to a place of developing faith. But this right here, this was just a direct impartation of God. And I believe that He will impart that to us. And so for me, as I go into 2019, I'm sensitive to the places where opposition is coming. And I am seeking places in the Lord to counter that spiritually, seeking places in prayer, but I am also praying for spiritual boldness because I want that to be an operation, because I want His kingdom to be an operation everywhere I go. It's not time to cower. That's not what the Lord has intended for us. Not in this hour. There's too much urgency. There's too much at stake. There's too many people who desperately need to be saved. There is too much urgency right now for us to simply recede into the background. This is something that I believe is available to every one of us if we simply seek it in prayer. Amen? As Brother Heider comes, let's pray right now. My God, in the name of Jesus, oh, leyendo siende le veresi quiende la yare vesieta la varahai. Oh, God, in the name of Jesus, grant us now, oh, God, boldness in the name of Jesus. Lisciende e lavosido urivesin cara yente levarayahai. Leia nosuna levandieto resikia rasarakai. In the name of Jesus, in the name.
Boldness. I've learned that the antidote for me of boldness is fear and worry about what will happen, good or bad. If I'm worried about acting in a certain way and whatever He leads me to do, if I'm worried that the response to that word that I am urged to speak, we have to get past our minds and get past worrying about what's going to happen and worried about the results of what could happen or what will happen. We just have to do. We just have to act. We just have to be. We just have to respond and walk in that place. We heard earlier about many adversaries. Everybody point out your finger. Say, you're my biggest adversary. Actually, it's up here. You're my biggest adversary. Yes, there are real spiritual opposition. That's a real thing. And that's a real thing that we face. And things can be planted around us and in our environments that we're responsive to. But the decisions happen up here. The decisions of how I'm going to act and how I'm going to respond to a different scenario happens up here. We just have to be past the place of fear. And I think this is a great word for me right now. It's what I've been feeling for a couple weeks. And there's a couple of scriptures I don't think we'll take the time to go into right now. But in order for us to do what God wants us to do as a body, we have to lay aside everything, all the expectations, all the self-made ideas of what could happen, what may happen, and just trust Him and just walk in it, walk where He leads us. As sheep, we can get into sheep mentality, and there's like a lot of stories about sheep, and I really don't know a whole lot about them. I've not been around them too much, to be honest. But they like to congregate. They like to stay together. They stay in the herd. There's safety in that. They feel secure if they're around other sheep. And even if they're too spread out, they don't like that. They got to get in close. If something happens that kind of stirs them up, they like to get in tight. And I think of it as sometimes, you know, we come into a building like this a couple times a week, and we're like, man, we're in the fold. Yeah, we're surrounded by all these other sheep, and it feels good in here. This is the happening place for a sheep, you know. I can exercise my bah, and I can, you know, I can be a sheep. I'm comfortable in here. And then we all go home and live our lives, go to our jobs, and look around, and all of a sudden, I'm the only sheep here. I'm the only one that looks like me. I'm the only one who talks like me. And sometimes our mentality can be to just kind of hunker down and blend in. Lord, give us boldness. Let this be a year of boldness. Let this be a year of operation. Let this be a year of signs and wonders. Why don't we stand tonight? Jesus, we're hungry for you tonight. We're hungry for your desires, Jesus. Your desires that none should be lost. Your desire is relationship, God. We lay aside our thoughts tonight, our fears tonight, Jesus. We look to you, the author and the finisher of our faith. Jesus, you set this in motion. It's your design. It's your plan. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I submit myself to you, Jesus. Release us from ourselves, God. Release us from our designs and our plans, Jesus. From our state of mind, oh God. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, fortify us tonight, God. In boldness in your word. In boldness in your power and your inspiration, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. God bless you. Remember, we'll be meeting.